America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众，欢迎您收听美国之音的中文广播。今天是8月6日，现在是北京时间下午5点，华盛顿时间上午5点。朝鲜国家媒体星期一8月6日指责美国违反改善双边关系的承诺，称美国所说的去核化完成前不会缓解制裁是蛮横无理的说法，还说美国强化制裁以便提升谈判力度。执政的劳动党党报称，朝鲜已经采取务实的措施，包括停止核试验与导弹试验，拆除一个核试验场，以及归还在朝鲜战争中丧生的美国军人的遗骸。朝鲜外长李永浩在新加坡一个安全论坛会议中也发表了类似的言论，他称美国对去核化的坚持令人警惕，不过他说朝鲜决心履行今年6月与美国达成的协议。白宫国家安全事务助理博尔顿星期天在福克斯新闻节目中对朝鲜看来继续发展核武器与导弹项目做出了反应。博尔顿称，朝鲜领导人金正恩今年4月向韩国总统文在寅保证会在1年内去核。他说，美国还在注视朝鲜是否做出了这项战略决定。美国国务卿蓬佩奥说，伊朗必须开始像一个正常国家那样行事。与此同时，美国准备重新对德黑兰当局实施制裁。蓬佩奥星期天8月5日对媒体说，我希望伊朗人民在谁担任国家领导层的问题上能发出强有力的声音。从星期二凌晨12:01开始，针对伊朗各项工业的制裁开始生效，包括伊朗传统的地毯。与此同时，伊朗政府也不能购买美国和欧洲的飞机和债券。针对伊朗出口能源的制裁将在11月恢复实施。在美国总统川普撤出伊朗与美国和其他5个国家签署的2015年核协议之后，原本已经撤销的制裁又会重新实施。大批 P2P 网络理财民间集资者受害者星期一上午从中国各地到北京请愿维权，当局出动上千警力和数十辆大巴严阵以待。中国银监会所在的北京金融街一带各个路口和地铁站都有警察盘查行人，许多外地请愿者还没有接近银监会就被送上大巴等待遣返。原定当天上午9点举行的请愿会被当局阻止。网络视频显示，先到北京投诉旅店的请愿者半夜被警察查房并被带走传唤。一些请愿者对美国之音表示，官方没有出面帮助他们解决问题，反而派出警察压制受害投资人，让他们感到无助无望。印度尼西亚龙目岛星期天8月5日发生强烈地震，造成至少82人丧生，引发了短暂的海啸警告，迫使居民和游客纷纷逃到街上避难。印尼国家赈灾局星期一发表一份声明说，数以百计的人受伤，数以千计的房屋受损害，预计死亡人数还会上升。美国地质勘探局说，这次地震为7.0级，震中位于龙目岛北部地下10.5公里处，附近的巴厘岛和其他地区也有震感，城市一些区域停电，主要医院疏散了病人。委内瑞拉当局逮捕了6名涉嫌参与总统马杜罗所说的针对他的谋杀企图的恐怖分子与雇佣杀手。发生在星期六阅兵活动上的袭击使用了2架装有炸药的无人机，一个据说在达到目标之前就空中爆炸，另一个撞到一个公寓后爆炸。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻，谢谢各位收听，我们下次节目时间再会。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中，我们重点讲怎样给人做介绍，电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is in his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
Today, we're going to talk about the first time Ms. Graham met Mr. Blake.
On Wednesday, June 12th of last year.
That's right. They met in the lobby of Mr. Blake's hotel, and you introduced Mr. Blake to Ms. Graham. Let's listen to the first part of that conversation. You had just arrived at the hotel, and you were looking for Mr. Blake. Let's listen.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake?
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles.This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham had never met before, is that right?
Yes, that's right.Mr. Blake and I met in Beijing at a trade show, but Ms. Graham had never met Mr. Blake.
So they were getting a first impression of each other.
Yes, that's right. It was important.
On our next show, we'll listen to more of this conversation.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。
Today, we're going to talk about business introductions in American companies. The email question is, how should I introduce a colleague to an American?
Well, just remember, you have two responsibilities. First, you have to make sure that each person learns the other person's name and business title. That's the easy part.
Why is that the easy part?
Because you can use standard language, like, Harry, I'd like you to meet Sally.Sally is our Vice President of Marketing.
Saying, I'd like you to meet, is pretty standard.
But after you've introduced the two people, you should try to help them continue the conversation.
Because when two people meet for the first time, they may not know what to say to each other.
Yes, that's exactly right. So you can add some information that will help them start talking. For example, you can say, Harry just got back from Singapore.Then Sally can say, how was your trip? Or, how did you like Singapore?
So you help them to begin to make small talk.
Yes, exactly. Small talk makes everyone very comfortable.
Thanks again, Gary, for your valuable information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our Vice President of Marketing.
Yes, come in.
Harry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like you to meet Mary Jenkins, our new office manager.
It's nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Abrams.
Mary was office manager at Global Electronics.With your old friend Bob.
Oh, really? How is Bob?
He's doing very well. He's a vice president now.
I'm glad to hear it.
Mary, you mentioned that you like to ski. Well, Harry is an excellent skier.
I'd be glad to talk to you later about some good places to ski.
Sounds great.
Well, we'd better be moving on. We have a lot more introductions to make today.
It was nice to meet you.
Same here.
Gary 提示。
Today, I'll be talking about how to make introductions. Sometimes you will need to introduce one of your business colleagues or co-workers to another. And sometimes you will be introduced to someone else. So it is very useful to know the expressions to use in these situations. Earlier, we listened as Mr. Epstein introduced Ms. Graham and Mr. Blake. He first introduced Ms. Graham to Mr. Blake using the expression, "This is."
This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham.
He introduces her by her title, Vice President, and by her full name, Shirley Graham. Then he introduces Mr. Blake to Ms. Graham. Again, he uses the expression, "This is."
Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
Mr. Epstein calls Ms. Graham by her first name, Shirley, because they work together and are comfortable using first names. Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham are meeting for the first time, so they use last names. They say Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
And in today's business dialogue, we learned some other expressions for making introductions. To begin the introduction, the president tells Mary the name and title of the company vice president.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
The expression, "I'd like to introduce you to," can be used when you introduce someone or before you introduce them. Let's listen again.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Harry Abrams. Harry is our vice president of marketing.
Yes, come in.
Harry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like you to meet Mary Jenkins, our new office manager.
The company president uses the expression, "I'd like you to meet." "I'd like you to meet" and "I'd like to introduce you to" are two common ways to make introductions. Notice that Mary calls Harry Abrams Mr. Abrams because he is company vice president.
It's nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Abrams.
They say, "It's nice to meet you," because they are meeting for the first time. When they see each other again, they will say, "It's nice to see you." The president then gives some additional information about Mary.
Mary was office manager at Global Electronics with your old friend Bob.
Oh, really? How is Bob?
He's doing very well. He's a vice president now.
I'm glad to hear it.
Making an introduction is more than giving a name and job title. You can also help people feel comfortable with each other through small talk. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课，我们重点讲解了给人做介绍和向人问候的语言。电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is in his office at International Robotics in Beijing. Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
On our last show, we spoke with Mr. Epstein. We talked about your first meeting with Shirley Graham.
Yes, I was a little nervous about meeting her. I knew that Mr. Epstein wanted to do business with me, but I knew that Shirley Graham had some concerns. So it was very important to me to establish a good personal relationship with her.
Well, today we're going to listen to your first conversation with her.
In the lobby of my hotel?
That's right.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles. This is our vice president, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
How are you today?
Fine. And you?
Just fine. Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
What did you think of Ms. Graham?
Oh, I thought she was very friendly.
So you felt that you could do business with her?
Well, I didn't know, but I hoped so. I knew there were several important issues we needed to discuss, but I felt that I could convince her to buy our industrial robots.
Well, we'll see how the negotiations went as our show continues. Thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Today we're going to talk about business conversations. The email question is, why do Americans talk so much? When I'm with American businessmen, they never stop talking.
Well, it's true. Most Americans do talk a lot. Americans keep talking in conversations because silence makes a bad impression on most Americans.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do. If you are silent, the other people may think that you are bored. They may even think that you don't like them.
So it makes a bad impression.
Yes, so Americans use a variety of strategies to avoid silence.
Really?
Yes. For example, listeners use a lot of expressions like uh-huh and really. These expressions tell the speaker that we are interested in what they are saying. Uh-huh is a little word, but it is better than being silent.
I see.
And if we need time to think, or let me see, tells the listeners, I will say something soon. Is better than thinking in silence.
That's very interesting information, Gary. Thanks again. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Sandra Powers. I work with Mr. Malone.
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers. You've come a very long way on this trip, so I hope things are going well. Welcome to San Francisco.
Gary 提示
Today I'll be talking about how to introduce yourself. Sometimes you will arrange a meeting with someone that you've never met before. If there is no one to introduce you, you will have to introduce yourself. In today's business dialogue, Ms. Powers has never met Mr. Myers before. So first of all, she has to confirm if the person she sees is really Mr. Myers. She could say, "Excuse me, are you Mr. Myers?" Instead, she confirms in a different way. She says his name as if it were a question. Mr. Myers? Let's listen.
Mr. Myers?
Yes, that's right.
After she confirms that the man is Mr. Myers, Ms. Powers introduces herself.
I'm Sandra Powers. I work with Mr. Malone.
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers.
Mr. Myers uses the formal expression, how do you do? You should only use the expression, how do you do, when you meet someone for the first time. At other times, you can say, how are you?
Ms. Powers, how do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Myers.
Now let's listen to a different conversation. Ms. Powers is looking for Mr. Myers of Dover Limited. But this time, she talks to someone who is not Mr. Myers.
Mr. Myers?
Excuse me?
Are you Mr. Myers from Dover Limited?
No, I'm afraid not. Why don't you ask reception to page him?
Oh, thank you. I'll do that. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, not at all.
The man uses the polite expression, "No, I'm afraid not," to tell Ms. Powers that he is not Mr. Myers.
Are you Mr. Myers from Dover Limited?
No, I'm afraid not.
Ms. Powers apologizes to the man, using the expression, "Sorry to bother you."
Sorry to bother you.
Oh, not at all.
His response, "Oh, not at all," means that it's okay, it's no problem. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
第三课我们重点讲怎样用客气的言辞打断别人的谈话。首先是电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is in her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello.
On our show, we've been talking with Mr. Epstein and Mr. Blake about the first time you met Mr. Blake.
Yes, I remember that meeting very well. Mr. Epstein had spoken very highly of both Mr. Blake and his company, but I still needed to find out more about Mr. Blake and his robots. That's why we scheduled this lunch meeting. I was looking forward to meeting him and finding out more about his company.
Well, let's listen to your conversation with Mr. Blake.
Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there? Okay?
Okay.
Sounds fine to me.
Okay, let's go.
What were your first impressions of Mr. Blake?
Well, he seemed very friendly and very professional. He had a good handshake, and his eye contact was good. He gave a good first impression.
I see. Thank you for talking with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Today, we're going to talk about interrupting. The email question is, I have trouble interrupting in English. Can you help me?
Well, interrupting is sometimes necessary, but it can be rather difficult.
Why?
Because you don't want to interrupt someone in the middle of a sentence. The best time to interrupt someone is between sentences.
Why is that difficult?
Because the time between sentences is often very short, less than 1 second.
That's a really short time.
Yes, you have to say something like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you have to say it really fast. It's usually easier to get the person's attention visually so that they will stop talking.
How do you do that?
Well, you can move close to the person, establish eye contact, and open your mouth a little. That shows that you want to say something, and they may stop talking.
That's a good idea.
One last strategy is to point up with the index finger and say, excuse me. Then the person may stop talking long enough for you to interrupt.
Those are wonderful strategies for a very difficult skill. Thanks, Gary. Dialogue 1.
第一段对话。
But Mary, we can't possibly finish by Tuesday.
But that's our deadline. You'll have to find a way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a Mr. Walters waiting to see you. He says he has a 2 o'clock appointment.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already? Sorry, Bob. We'll have to continue this some other time.
Dialogue 2.
第二段对话。
And then I flew to Los Angeles and stayed with my wife's sister. She took us around the city. We went shopping in Beverly Hills and visited UCLA.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's time for the production meeting.
I thought the meeting was tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
Dialogue 3.
第三段对话.
And so I think we should delay the decision until after the board meeting.
But it can't wait until then.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, but Mr. Diego is on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Okay. Sorry, Sam. I've got to take this call. We'll talk about it later.
No problem.
Gary 提示.
Today I'll be talking about how to interrupt. Sometimes when people are talking, you may need to interrupt them. Of course, whenever possible, you should wait until it is your turn to speak. But when you need immediate action, you may have to interrupt. For example, Mr. Epstein interrupts Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham to let them know that it is time to leave. Mr. Epstein uses the polite expression, "I hate to interrupt, but..."
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there?
He suggests that they continue their conversation at the restaurant. In today's business dialogues, we see other examples of interruptions. In the first dialogue, Bob and Mary are talking about an important deadline. Sam has to interrupt to let Mary know that someone is waiting to see her.
But Mary, we can't possibly finish by Tuesday.
But that's our deadline. You'll have to find a way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a Mr. Walters waiting to see you. He says he has a 2 o'clock appointment.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock already? Sorry, Bob. We'll have to continue this some other time.
Sam uses the polite expression, "I'm sorry to interrupt, but..." He uses this expression to get Mary's attention and to interrupt the conversation. In business dialogue 2, Joseph is telling Tara about his trip to California. She interrupts his story to remind him that the production meeting is going to begin.
And then I flew to Los Angeles and stayed with my wife's sister. She took us around the city. We went shopping in Beverly Hills and visited UCLA.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's time for the production meeting.
I thought the meeting was tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
She uses the small sound, and the expression, "excuse me for interrupting, but," to get his attention. In this case, Joseph didn't know there was a meeting, and he thanks Tara for reminding him. In dialogue 3, the young woman uses the expression, "excuse me," and the person's name to interrupt the conversation.
And so I think we should delay the decision until after the board meeting.
But it can't wait until then.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, but Mr. Diego is on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Okay. Sorry, Sam. I've got to take this call. We'll talk about it later.
No problem.
In each of these cases, the person uses a polite expression to interrupt and to give the important news. If your news is important, the person will be happy that you have interrupted. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
各位听众，今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听，我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众,
接下来请听这个小时的美国之音的国际新闻。朝鲜国家媒体星期一8月6日指责美国违反改善双边关系的承诺，称美国所说的去核化完成之前不会缓解制裁是蛮横无理的说法，还说美国强化制裁措施以便提升谈判力度。执政的朝鲜劳动党党报称，朝鲜已经采取务实措施，包括停止核试验与导弹试验，拆除一个核试验场，以及归还在朝鲜战争中丧生的美国军人的遗骸。朝鲜外长李永浩在新加坡一个安全问题论坛中发表了类似的言论，他称美国对去核化的坚持令人警惕，不过他说朝鲜决心履行今年6月与美国达成的协议。白宫国家安全事务助理博尔顿星期天在福克斯新闻电视节目中对朝鲜看来继续发展核武器与导弹项目做出了反应。博尔顿说，朝鲜领导人金正恩今年4月向韩国总统文在寅保证会在一年内去核。他说，美国还在注视朝鲜是否做出了这项战略决定。美国国务卿蓬佩奥说，伊朗必须开始像一个正常国家那样行事。与此同时，美国准备重新对德黑兰当局实行制裁。蓬佩奥星期天8月5日对媒体说，我希望伊朗人民在谁担任国家领导层的问题上能发出强有力的声音。从星期二凌晨起，针对伊朗各项工业的制裁措施开始生效，包括传统的伊朗地毯。在此之前，伊朗政府也将不能购买美国和欧洲的飞机和债券。针对伊朗能源出口的制裁将在11月份恢复实施。在美国总统川普撤出伊朗与美国和其他五个国家签署的2015年核协议之后，原本已经撤销的制裁又会重新实施。大批 P2P 网络理财民间集资受害者星期一上午从中国各地到北京请愿维权，当局出动上千警力和数十辆大巴严阵以待。中国银监会所在的北京金融街一带各个路口和地铁站都有警察盘查行人，许多外地请愿者还没有接近银监会就被送上大巴等待遣返。原定当天上午9点举行的请愿集会被当局阻止。网络视频显示，先到北京投诉旅店的请愿者半夜被警察查访并带走传唤。一些请愿者对美国之音表示，官方没有出面帮助他们解决问题，反而派出警察压制受害投资人，让他们感到无助无望。投资人的社交平台发布消息说，上海高铁车站有进京请愿者被抓。美国之音致电上海铁路局公安处询问，但无人接听。中国银监会信访部门电话录音提示线路忙，记者多次拨打均无法接通。印度尼西亚龙目岛星期天8月5日发生强烈地震，造成至少82人丧生，引发了短暂的海啸警告，迫使居民和游客纷纷逃到街上以避险。印尼国家赈灾局星期一发表一份声明说，数以百计的人受伤，数以千计的房屋受到损害，预计死亡人数还会继续上升。美国地质勘探局说，这次地震为 7.9 级，震中发生于龙目岛北部地下 10.5 公里处，附近的巴厘岛和其他地区也有震感。委内瑞拉当局逮捕了6名涉嫌参与总统马杜罗所说的针对他的谋杀企图的恐怖分子与雇佣杀手。发生在星期六阅兵活动上的袭击使用了2架装有炸药的无人机，一个据说在达到目标之前空中爆炸，另一个撞到一个公寓楼后爆炸。委内瑞拉内政部长说，在首都卡拉卡斯突击搜查中搜集了重要的信息，不过他没有进一步解释。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻，谢谢您收听，再见。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视八月一号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。中国国家主席习近平在刚刚结束的中东非洲之行期间呢，出手近3000亿人民币用于到访6个国家的贷款、投资和援助，引发国内民众对撒币外交的新一轮不满。习近平执政5年来，他倡导的一带一路成为一路撒钱，已经和计划投资达上万亿美元，结果呢，却是国内民众怨声载道，国际社会猜忌重重。那么我们如何理性评价中共的撒币外交？一带一路是硕果累累还是个烂尾工程？中国民众的抱怨究竟有没有道理呢？今天我们时事大家谈邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在中国山东通过 Skype 连线参加我们节目的呢，是山东大学退休教授孙文广。好，在北京呢，通过视频连线参加我们节目的是独立时评人胡佳。胡佳先生，你好。
主持人好，观众朋友们好。
在美国新泽西州通过视频连线加入访谈的是中国战略分析杂志社社长李伟东。李先生好。
主持人好，观众朋友们好。
我们今天呢特邀了一位嘉宾，就是中国山东大学退休教授孙文广教授。这个孙文广教授呢，他非常愿意接受我们采访，因为我们为什么说是特邀嘉宾呢？因为就在习近平这一次访问中东和这个非洲之前呢，孙文广教授呢，他发表了一篇致这个习近平的公开信。这个公开信上呢，这个就是呼吁习近平不要再做撒币外交的傻事了，但是呢，今天据我们了解到的情况呢，孙文广教授现在和警察发生了。和监视他的警察发生了激烈的争吵，所以有可能呢，孙教授没有办法上我们的节目。我们呢，我们很遗憾。哦，好，孙教授现在来到我们节目当中了，非常好。那么我们首先呢，我们就请孙教授来谈谈这个问题，就是习近平呢，他刚刚结束中东非洲之行，被称为是一路撒钱。那么据我们了解，孙教授，您曾写过一封公开信，呼吁习近平不要做这种得不偿失的这个傻事。那么现在看来，您觉得习近平听从您的建议了吗？孙教授。
没有听从我的建议。而且呢，加强了对我的监视。今天晚上你们要采访我，他派了6个公安破了门，把门砸破进来，不准我接受采访。那么现在我就拿起刀来，和他两个拼命。他们现在站在外边。我可以发表我的看法，这是我的言论自由。那么关于习近平去到非洲去，采访到非洲去访问，我觉得呢，他这个不应该去啊。去大撒币，所以呢，我就写了一封公开信，目的叫做呢，出访不要大撒币。那么结果他回来了，我们才发现呢，实际上呢，这次啊，还是搞了很多的所谓援助啊，所谓这个投资啊，实际还在撒币了哈，那么这个情况呢哈，我倒觉得是这样了。他呢想搞好一些关系，或者有他自己的打算，这个我们呢，并不反对的，是吧？并不反对的。但是呢，这个他如果这样做的话呢，要考虑啊，这个他这个过去的一系列的做法啊。因为中国呢现在人口很多很穷，是吧？去这个援助国外的话呢，你要量力而行，是吧？你没有那么大的本事啊，你就不要去做那么大的事，是吧？这是我的观点。那么现在呢，这个一带一路啊，也是一个问题，是吧？按照我的看法啊，就是现在 他这个做法呢，实际上就是撒钱呢、啊，撒钱。他这个项目呢很难啊，有良好的结果，啊，这是我的一些看法。
嗯，好的。孙文广教授呢，他今年已经是84岁高龄。啊，没想到呢，他在接受美国之音啊采访的过程中呢，竟遭到如此的这个待遇，啊，遭到如此的这样一个境遇，所以我们对此呢深表遗憾。啊，接下来我来请教北京的胡佳先生啊，中国官媒称习近平这一次中东非洲之行叫硕果累累，民间呢有什么评论？为什么有这个撒币外交或者撒币之行的这样一个议论呢？胡先生，
中国。国内的媒体就是共产党的喉舌，在习近平出访的时候，就是高调宣传他到各个国家啊访问，然后呢，所谓杰出的那些硕果。但是我们能够看到的硕果，无非就是说那些国家很欢迎中国共产党到那边去啊，怎么说呢？就是这种金元外交吧。
嗯，
把成百亿、上千亿的资金投在当地。这个东西的话，就是说正好在他做这种金元外交的时候，中国国内爆发了比如说毒疫苗、假疫苗的这样的事情，而且有些地方已经开始说要推迟养老金的发放，诸多的社会问题的话，它有一个就是非常明确的缺口，就是国内的这个资金紧张，许多老百姓在民生方面没有得到基本的保障，还有就是最近的那种高温啊、暴雨啊，让各地就是说全面受灾。这个时候习近平投出3000亿人民币，因为你知道汶川地震的时候中国才就是老百姓捐钱才捐了几百亿人民币，那时候已经是倾囊去这样做了。
嗯，
但是中国现在又面临着各种各样的社会问题的时候，但是习近平却把大把的民脂民膏向外去投资，老百姓就是已经开始怨声载道了。
好的，那我再来请教美国新泽西州的李伟东先生，您如何评价习近平的这次出访以及他的撒币外交呢？
这次出访的撒币外交其实是他上任6年以来这个持续不断的一个向外资本扩张战略的一个继续。到目前为止累计已经超过了10000亿人民币，这个港台美国的说法叫做投资了1兆，其实就是10000亿人民币。这个10000亿人民币这样的规模的往外投资到底本意是什么？而且不顾像胡佳说的，包括像刚才孙教授说的，不顾本国的国计民生，这样大规模的向外投资。那么5年前他开始宣扬这个一带一路的时候，我就说这叫红色资本的胜利大逃亡，是要把中国模式祸害完中国之后要祸害全世界。那么他这样一条战略并不是说他看不懂国内的这些问题，也不是说这个他不听国内这些有识之士的人的劝告，是他们一条固定的坚持的顽固坚持的路线。这个路线就是通过资本扩张打破所谓美国的封锁，通过资本扩张在全球与美国争霸，这样一个总体战略它始终没有动摇。不管国内国际民生如何，不管批评声音有多大，所以呢，我不觉得是大家说的他看不明白事是一个很傻的行为。其实这不是一个傻的行为，是一个固定的他们的一个国际战略。这个国际战略的前提就是建立在美国衰落，然后美欧之间发生分歧，全世界其他的地方美国也在收缩，所以中国要填补进去，填补进去就要用这种撒币外交去收买。当然有很多很多这个达不到目的的地方，比方说马来西亚，这个就发生了某种程度的逆转，但是总体上它还是赢得了这些个相对落后贫穷国家的欢迎。那么使中共的国际势力进一步向非洲、向南美拓张，现在的非洲差不多已经成为中国州了。
好的。那么我们知道这个撒币呢是中文一个不雅之词的一个谐音，这是许多中国人呢以喜笑怒骂的这个形式来表达对中共金钱外交的这个不满。但是官方不这样看，官方认为呢，以这次习近平出访撒出的近3000亿人民币为例呢，官媒认为绝大部分属于投资的性质，能够带来丰厚的回报。那孙教授，不知道您还在不在我们线上？您怎么看这个问题呢，孙教授？
我觉得是这样的。中国现在的情况呢，国内啊 穷人非常的多，
嗯，
啊，有的看不起病，啊，有的呢无法养老，啊，有的无法上学。那么在这种现实情况下边呢，到外面去撒钱呢，这个本身呢，它就会激起民间的啊一种反弹，啊，再说你去投资，啊，你对外部的情况并不熟悉啊，是吧？这个国外的情况很复杂，它国内有两派，两个党啊，那么还有呢，这个民族问题等等问题。在这个情况下边呢，中国出去投资啊，因为它缺少经验，啊，缺少市场经济的这个头脑，所以它这个投资啊，多半啊都会啊这个舍本而归吧，啊。因为就建这个高铁，高铁在国内有的就亏损啊，是吧？没有几条赚钱的。
嗯，
你现在到了国外，人生地不熟，你能赚到钱吗？是吧？能赚到钱吗？是吧？又来了，公安又来干扰了。
嗯，
又来了，六个、四个、五个、六个、四个、五个、六个。
您
什么？我讲错了吧？你们听着点，错不错？老百姓很穷，我们不要到非洲去撒钱。这些公安，你说七八个人了，都听着点，是吧？这个撒钱呢，对国家、对社会都没有好处，啊，都没有好处。你干什么？我跟你说，砍你，你到我家来，你到我家来是犯法的，我有我的言论自由。
大家听到这个实况了吧？大家听到这个实况了，我想，这就是中国目前的人权状况。我们美国之音呢，对。啊，孙文广教授的这个遭遇，以及孙文广教授遭到这个不公正的这个打压行为呢，表示强烈抗议。我们继续我们这个节目讨论。美国国务卿呢日前宣布，美国将在亚洲和印度洋地区加大投资，计划呢拨出$1亿投资于技术、能源和基础设施这个领域，以抗衡中国势力的扩张。我相信许多中国人看了这个消息会嘲笑美国的，因为多少？大家看到那个金额是多少？$1亿，因为同中国相比呢，美国似乎太小儿科了。那胡先生，您怎么看这个问题？
我想首先就是美国政府对于美国纳税人的钱在使用方面的话，它是有诸多的节制，有诸多的监督的，所以它不能够任意去挥霍，这一点是跟习近平和中国共产党操纵的这个可以把老百姓的这个血汗钱像自来水一样花是完全不同的。再有的话，我觉得美国已经在就是说，中共的这个一带一路所在的这些国家，很多国家它也有它的先期的部署，包括很多地方还有它的比如军事基地啊，其实它已经比中国共产党经营的时间要长得多。所以在这个时候的话，并就是中共虽然有很多的投资，但并不会动摇美国在那些国家影响力的根本。再有一点的话，当年里根总统用星球大战计划就是摧垮了苏联，那现在美国可以高调的说就要对抗中共的这个比如说在外交啊这个经济方面的这种势力扩展。那么当他投资$1亿的时候的话，会激起中共的嘲笑。我想不是中国老百姓，而是中共的嘲笑，觉得美国小儿科，美国的衰落。这时候的话，中共也可能拿着10倍、100倍的钱去摆明他才是自己才是有实力的。但这种较量的话，那么我觉得真的是让我联想起当年星球大战计划最后留下的那个成果，就是共产党的垮台。嗯，
好的，那么现在呢，我们和孙教授的连线呢断了。为了孙先生这个本人的安全起见呢，我们呢放弃和孙先生继续连线了。但是呢，我们要对这个中共当局以及中共以及中国山东的地方当局这种做法呢，我们表示遗憾，也表示抗议。我来继续请教李先生。有人说呢，大国外交当然离不开金钱来做后盾。那么我们应该如何理性客观地观察这个中共的外交？您认为把中共外交，尤其是习近平执政以来的所谓大国外交，说成是这个撒币外交，是一种合理公平的说法吗？
我首先借这个机会，对孙教授遭受的这种打压，表示愤慨，也表示抗议。也这个请胡佳先生在北京这个注意安全。
这个中共现在对言论自由的这种高度打压，已经超出了常人这个那个能够忍受的和国际公平正义角度下的任何这个正义可言，这个简直是一种丧心病狂的一种行为。抱歉，因为今天主题不是这个，我顺便对孙教授的这个遭遇表示我个人的心情。这个回到你刚才这个话题，刚刚你提到的这个1.13亿美元美国的这件事情，胡佳的这个回应我很同意，但是呢，我仍然是很担心，就是在中美现在这场贸易战以及全球的这个战略利益争夺方面，我多次说过，中国跟美国政府有两大不同。美国政府刚才胡佳提到是纳税人的钱，很有节制，要通过一套民主程序，一套科学的程序来应对这个。但是中国政府是现在全世界最有钱的政府，虽然民间没有钱，但中国政府是超出全世界所有政府的这种有钱程度。这个是因为多年来这样对民间资本搜刮的结果，民间利益搜刮的结果。第二呢，是中国政府可以无限制的、毫无顾忌的压榨本国人民。在这两个前提下，这个美国国际民主势力要想取得跟中国之间的这种贸易战以及其他方面的胜利并不容易，但是这1.13亿美元的投资应该是一个很好的开端。我相信美国政府和欧盟以及日本和其他的民主国家会慢慢的想明白我提到的这样一个新纳粹红色帝国的崛起对全球的这种危害。刚才你提到这个所谓大傻逼外交，这一点并没有冤枉他，但是呢，我刚才也强调他有他的战略意图，这个战略意图就是这个反美，然后呢，与美国在全球争霸，然后党国至上，而且一直秉承自慈禧太后以来的宁与洋人不与家奴的这样一种统治理念。这个是我们怎么说都没有用的，他一直在坚持这一条，而且要一条路跑到黑的。
好的，现在我们有大量的网评进来回应我们几位嘉宾，尤其是回应啊孙文广教授。然后呢，我们先给大家选读一些网评，然后呢，我们再接电话。李瑞敏，我们这位网友说：“孙文广教授，敬佩敬佩，你是中国的脊梁。希望中国，习近平无论怎样向外撒币，也买不来真正的友谊。那些中东国家比哪个都，那些中东国家哪个都比中国富裕。非洲那些国家翻脸比翻书还快。当习近平遇到危险时，谁也不会帮他。”Tyreal， 他说撒币呢就是变相贪污，撒的是国家的币，获得的政绩是自己的。中原不正，他说如果是富国请免费医疗，如果是穷国请停止撒币。山其中，他说国内愤慨的是因为自己国内的教育、医疗、养老、扶贫等太多的问题还没有解决，向沙特等富裕国家去撒币装逼，不觉得自己失职吗？国内百姓的心情能考量一下吗？现在我来接电话，听听我们听众观众朋友们的想法。辽宁的孙先生，孙先生你好。
主持人好，嘉宾好。孙文广教授吧，如果只是在言论自由，我表示深深的同情和的话表示遗憾。我可以亮明我的身份，我是共产党人，我叫孙占英。但是我今天我说两件事儿，说第一件事儿，说与这个有关系，说清朝前儿，雍正支持的话年羹尧打西北，他是发现了种种恶习。戚家淦在弹劾的时候，雍正支持了年羹尧，说雍正是昏君吗？也就是说你在单位，孙教授，就咱们自己可以想一想，说你们单位如果谁有大事人情，说咱们的话为了自己孩子咱们不去花钱去的，说只有道亨打顶房顶开门吗？一个国家和一个家庭是一样的，说从古至今都是说呀，不能道亨打顶房顶开门吧。我就今天说。
好的，谢谢辽宁的孙先生。下一位，江苏的李先生，李先生你好。
哎，你好。孙教授，他代表了中国知识分子的良心。他84岁的高龄， 本来可以过着非常好的、非常安逸的生活，可是他冒着被中共当局迫害的危险，接受自由媒体的访问，发出中国百姓最真实的声音。所以在这里，我们这些青年的知识分子向孙教授表示敬意。
嗯。
还有第二件事情是，这几天中共的官媒，无论是人民日报、新华社、环球时报等等，都在发表一些文章。这些文章竟然无耻到什么程度呢？他们写中国的疫苗事件是偶发的，在美国、日本和英国也发生过疫苗事件。
嗯，
我觉得中共政权已经腐败到这种程度，真不知道以后的历史怎么书写。
好的。
另外，我想请教一下李伟东教授。
嗯，
就是您刚才提到，就是共产主义、共产势力对于民主思想的、民主世界的这种侵害，但是中共最有力的就是用它的庞大的市场来吸引西方国家。我想问一下，李伟东教授，在你看来，西方民主国家有没有真正的意识到共产主义势力对于民主自由世界的威胁？好，谢谢。
好的，谢谢江苏的李先生。接下来的讨论当中呢，我们请这个李伟东先生回答你的问题。现在有大量的网友呢在聊天室里声援孙文广教授。我再给大家读一个网评吧，傅正辉，他说习近平执政这些年的对外经援呢，只有总额21%是无偿援助，是对世界第二大经济体而言呢，是一种义举，也是一种责任。其他79%的国外经援则是贷款投资形式的互利行为，使用的是不能用在国内预算上的外汇，并且呢并非是以金钱方式给付的。说他不顾国内生计大撒币，完全是不理性的指责，只是在一带一路的政策上应该更加谨慎，免遭误议和猜疑。傅正辉先生呢，我刚才说他和上海唐先生表达是同样的观点，有点不太确切。傅政辉先生虽然呢，他表达了不同的意见，但是呢，他呢这里边呢还是比较理性的，他有他的事实，他有他的依据。那么我想请两位嘉宾回答一下这个问题。首先，胡佳先生。
这个怎么说呢？就是“一带一路”呢，因为它涉及的面很宽泛，涉及好像60多个国家。
嗯。
那么从2013年他提出到现在，已经投入了很多资源，而且承诺的资源就是更多的。那么在他已经投入的这个资源，比如说在印尼所谓建高速铁路这些方面，我们都是去看了他相关的这个案例，这些项目的进展非常非常的缓慢，而且有些是属于停滞的。也就是说在项目的前期评估方面的话，就没有考虑到比如说印尼跟我们国家的这个体制的不同，中共要在中国建高铁的话，它可以随时的进行拆迁，然后呢就是征收那些土地，它的修建速度是世界第一的，没有任何国家可以跟它相比。但在印尼涉及到拆迁这方面，它就做不通，走不下去这样的。那么许多的这种投入将来面临着可能会比如说延期入不敷出，或者是属于这种高风险的这样。那在其就说整个的这种投资质量方面的话，我们觉得说完完全全不像是像民主国家对外投资或者说私营部门对外投资那样的理性。在这方面的话，就是可预见的这种损失已经挂在那里了，但是呢这辆列车仍然急速的向前奔驰。
我们现在呢，我只给大家读两个短评，然后呢我们结束我们今天的这个讨论。希望中国，他说5年的反腐在民众中心中建立的些许威望彻底被他自己毁掉了，习近平将成为中国历史上地位最低的人，和晋惠帝作伴了。Michael 陈，这是一位支持这个中共当局的，他说这个政府现在才执政多少年，进步空间还有很大，虽然我们这一代不一定能看到。好，今天我们时事大家谈讨论呢到这里就结束了，我们时间关系不能一一接听听众观众朋友的电话以及回答网友提出的所有问题。感谢孙文广教授、胡佳先生和李伟东先生参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈关注热点话题，达赖喇嘛年事已高，西藏问题面临转折。我是许波，下次节目再会。